and welcome to Coffeehouse Shots, the Spectator's daily and Leeds Day's more than daily politics podcast. So it's Super Saturday, but how super is Saturday really going to be? I'm Katie Balls, and I'm joined by Isabel Hardman and James Forsyth from the House of Commons roof, so do forgive us if you are hearing helicopters. Now, James, this has been billed as the day that would actually decide Brexit. Over the years, as listeners on this podcast will know, we've heard that quite a few times, and often it doesn't appear to be as much crunch in a crunch vote as you expect. And it does appear that this could be happening all over again, and that's because of an amendment put forward by Oliver Letwin.
Yes, this Parliament is about to engage in its favourite activity, can kicking. So the Letwin Amendment essentially says... essentially renders mute the vote tonight, the vote this afternoon. It means that it's not a vote to approve Boris Johnson's deal. Rather, it's a vote that would require him to send a letter to the EU requesting an extension and then try and bring back his bill and his deal and pass it all by October 31st. So at the end of this evening, we wouldn't know if Parliament supports his deal or not. Now, if the Letwin Amendment passes, the government will then tell all of its MPs to abstain on the final motion. So we will not find out whether Boris Johnson has the support of 320 MPs for his deal and leaving on October 31st today. So we're not going to get the answer that we all thought we were going to get. But it's likely that the Letwin Amendment will pass, but not certain. The government are putting the thumbscrews on and they are making the argument to... the 21 Tory MPs who lost the whip, so quite a few of whom would like the whip back. If you want the whip back, you don't just have to vote for the deal, you have to vote against the Letwin Amendment too. And so I think this is going to come down to what do the Labour MPs who are going to support the deal, and those who are not out in public yet but are planning to support the deal, what do they do? Do they vote for Letwin or not?
And Isabel, on the government's plan, if Letwin does pass, to ask Conservative MPs to abstain. Now, Oliver Letwin argues that that shouldn't be necessary because ultimately you could still show in the vote after, once his amendment is added, that you support the deal, even if the motion has been changed so it no longer complies with the Hillary Benn legislation, bear with me, and it isn't the exact vote Boris Johnson wants to have. Oliver Letwin argues, actually, you can still read from that there is support. So why is Number 10 doing this?
Yes, I mean, as you say, it is perfectly possible, Letwin is right, that you could use the second vote as a proxy to say, well, there is consent for this deal. But Number 10 have basically decided to sort of take the pressure out of it and to move it to Tuesday so they can try afresh to get the consent on the floor of the House without having just been having just had a defeat.
I think it's also that you can't the ERG, it looks like the entire ERG are going to vote for this deal. You can't ask, I mean, the government whips can do a lot of things, but they can't ask them to vote for a Brexit extension letter to be sent. You know,
yep.
They are asking for this act that Tory MPs have been calling the Surrender Act. Or obviously, it's not its actual name. Its actual name is the Benn Bill. You'll be asking them to get the Prime Minister to send that letter, to send the letter requesting an extension. All the Tory discipline that there currently appears to be would break down at that point. I think there's another thing here, which is, look, Oliver Letwin is probably cleverer than the three of us put together, but has no common sense. And what he doesn't get is that most people voting for his amendment, he wants to leave on October 31st, right? Most people don't. And what they want to do is they want to drag this process out so he can put more and more amendments down to the deal. And this is the way they think they can keep alive the hope of putting down a second referendum amendment. Because they knew that if Boris Johnson won this vote today and the UK was on course to leave on October 31st, Boris Johnson could simply say, if you add a second referendum amendment to the bill, we will simply leave without a deal on October 31st. And this is really a way of keeping alive the hopes of a second referendum.
Isabel, one of the government worries regarding the Letwin Amendment is that they feel it takes the pressure off for Labour MPs. So if there is a sense that actually no deal is off the table because an extension is going to be asked for anyway as of 11 p.m. tonight, which is what it would effectively do, that means you are going to have fewer Labour MPs today who would then want to vote you know, even as opposed to a later date for this. Do you think that's fair? Is that what you're picking up?
Yeah, I think it is something that has really snookered the government in terms of its talks with Labour MPs. And you've seen a pushback, actually, in the past hour or so. Caroline Flint, for instance, Labour MP, has been really laying into the Letwin Amendment. She's decided that she's going to support the government's deal and says that she's received assurances on workers' rights, which is the main case that the Labour front bench is making against this deal. I think the other worry that the government has is not just on the number of amendments that are going to be made and people sort of trying to wreck Brexit. It's just the amount of time that they're going to have to get any of this done. So if they bring it back on Tuesday, I mean, they could feasibly table the motion for the vote on the deal today so that it then is voted on Monday. But at the moment, it looks as though their plan is for it to be on Tuesday. You have to get through the Commons and the House of Lords in time for all of these things to be approved in time for October the 31st. Otherwise, as we've said, the extension that Boris Johnson is legally forced to request till the 31st of January will apply. So they can only negate that extension they're being forced to request by Oliver Letwin by getting this vote through as quickly as possible.
I think there is one way in which Number 10 haven't been snookered, though. If your argument is that you're up against a fundamentally obstructionist parliament that would do anything to stop Brexit, the fact that Boris Johnson has come back for a Brexit deal and today parliament is going to vote not to vote on it,
yep,
or is going to vote to render the vote on it meaningless, is, I think, quite telling. I mean, I think the big moment of drama next week is going to be the programme motion. Because if he wants to deliver on leaving the EU by October 31st, he doesn't just have to win the second reading vote. He has to win the programme motion, which would be an exceptionally tight timetable to get this all through both houses by the 31st.
James, you've spoken of some of the obstacles the government is facing, but in terms of good news for the government, you mentioned it briefly. We have had this morning Steve Baker speak to his fellow ERG members, along with Marc Francois, and both figures said that they thought everyone in that group should back the deal. Now, if you think back at even a couple of months ago, if the various things these MPs have been saying, it's quite a remarkable turnaround, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is what Boris Johnson has achieved, is he has brought back a deal that I think nearly everyone who has the Conservative whip is going to end up voting for. And I think the reason he has brought back a deal is that the political declaration implies a considerably looser relationship than the May deal. And on Northern Ireland, I mean, there is a crucial change on consent. And this is where I think David Trimble's backing for the deal, he was at the ERG meeting this morning, is so important, because the DUP had been hoping that a whole chunk of the ERG would stick with them. But I think that it is hard to argue that the consent provision in the agreement that now means that if a majority of MLAs in the Northern Irish Assembly vote to end this arrangement, it would end. You can no longer call this the anti-democratic backstop. It is a set of special provisions for Northern Ireland, yes, but Northern Ireland has, since the Anglo-Irish agreement and increasingly since then, been a bit different from the rest of the UK. And there is also now a way for Northern Ireland to end these arrangements if it so chooses. And I think that does make it very different from the previous deal.
I think that the Northern Ireland dimension, obviously the DUP not supporting it, is a problem for the Prime Minister, but also what the DUP have been saying in the chamber today is a problem. So Nigel Dodds, when he stood up and responded to Boris Johnson's statement, he obviously criticised the deal, but then said it was once said that no British Prime Minister could ever agree to such terms, and indeed those who sought the leadership of the Tory party said so at our conference. And that's something that's being picked up by particularly Labour opponents of Boris Johnson's deal, saying, you know, can you really trust this guy? Can you trust his assurances on workers' rights? Can you really trust that this isn't the sort of backdoor to no deal that John Barron was suggesting it was yesterday, and so on and so on? And for them, they think that the way to prize away some of their wavering colleagues is to say, well, actually, do you trust this man? Do you really think the things he's promising you are worth even the paper that he might write them on for you? And so that's their kind of attack line. And Nigel Dodds has given the most powerful weapon to them, I think.
And on the DUP, is it probably fair to say there is a sub-zero chance of, at this point, the DUP abstaining, let alone going for this deal.
Nothing sums up Boris Johnson's incorrigible optimism better than the fact that he still thinks that there is a chance of winning round the DUP to this deal. It is kind of absolutely mind-blowing that he thinks that. I mean, if you read their statements, these are not statements that leave any door open to any kind of
they're not talking about sort of a new kind of Dubai and Belfast kind of situation. They are there's no more sort of money negotiating going on here.
But one of the interesting questions is whether they will shift, because there is one way that you could ensure that this regulatory and customs border and the RSC it isn't noticed by anybody, and that would be to push for the UK to stay in the customs union and the European Economic Area. If it did, you wouldn't essentially need any of these arrangements. They would be superseded. And I think it will be very interesting to see, again, the Letwin stuff is just the beginning of the parliamentary shenanigans. If you were a half, and there is no shortage of canny people on the Remain side of this argument, one of the ways you would try and derail this deal is you would try and cobble together a Commons majority for a negotiating mandate for phase two that was based on the idea of the UK staying in the EEA and the customs union, so kind of Norway plus in the jargon, on the grounds that the DUP should support that, because that would mean the whole of the UK was being treated the same. Obviously, if you could put that, that would not change the international treaty signed by the UK and the EU. But with that negotiating mandate for phase two, you would undoubtedly, you know, how could lots of Tory MPs vote for that? So you know, I wonder whether, I think we will see a lot, as the bill tries to, and this is again one of the reasons lots of people are voting for the Letwin Amendment, the more time you have, the more mischief you can make as the bill goes through.
And it might not be today that we get to see really if Boris Johnson does have the majority for this deal, depending what plays out within the votes. But whatever happens, when that vote comes, we expect it to be very tight. And I was wondering, which MPs do you think, I suppose, almost the bellwether MPs are the ones that will be the most decisive? Because we've heard today that Kate Hoey is not backing this deal. She takes issue with the Northern Ireland Protocol in it. Norman Lamb, the Liberal Democrat MP, who has spoken a lot about how he wants the deal, has also said that he is not backing it. So it's about, are these the type of, I suppose, switches, if you would call them that, which mean that you start to see it moving the other way?
I'm not sure. I think it is still Labour backbenchers and, you know, the independent MPs, the sort of motley crew there, and ex-Tory MPs. I think they're the ones who still hold the balance. The ex-Tory MPs less so on the deal, because I think they've got most of them, the majority of them, in favour of the deal. But it's the Letwin issue that's the problem there. And I think it'll be really interesting. It was very interesting in Boris Johnson's statement, and it's interesting watching Steve Barclay leading the debate now in the Commons, who they're choosing to be quite jocular with and who they're choosing to be very polite to. So Boris Johnson was unusually polite to Jeremy Corbyn. He sort of tried to claim the moral high ground by saying, I was disappointed by his response. He didn't rise to the occasion, but he didn't then spend the rest of his response ridiculing the Labour leader, because he doesn't want to put backbench Labour MPs off too much, as much as that is probably very tempting for him at this stage.
Thank you, Isabel. Thank you, James.